Thank you. Recording has started, and I'm just going to take about maybe no more than 10 minutes to introduce this call and to talk about how this call came about. Basically, you know, we just in August we had a virtual conference, at convocation, we had the induction, you know, a pamphlet on the connection between race and debt came before the conference to be approved. And what followed was rather confusing for a lot of people. the pamphlet was objected to on the grounds of Tradition 10. And ultimately, the pamphlet was not approved, and it wasn't disapproved. It was sent back to committee. It was recommitted, and a lot of people were very confused about what recommittal meant. What that just means is that the pamphlet is going to come out, but it needs to be sent back to committee to be finessed. But this brought forth a lot of discussion, both you know, at the conference and after the conference, at various meetings and at various private conversations that I was having with my sponsees and with other people on the board, about the nature of Tradition 10. And we also got a great deal of feedback from the fellowship, people who are confused about what happened at the conference, people who we're really unsure of what the nature of Tradition 10 was, and we formed the board formed an ad hoc committee of about five members to discuss, you know, how to address these concerns as the board. And one of the things that we did to address these concerns was that we would like to, you know, we decided to have a fellowship-wide call addressing just, you know, Tradition 10, what it meant to various people in the fellowship. We would have three speakers. They would speak on how Tradition 10, how they experienced Tradition 10. Tradition 10, as you know, is essentially, it's a tradition that is, you know, associated with outside issues in that we do not address, as a fellowship, we do not address outside issues. We do not take a stance on political, we do not make political affiliations. We do not do anything as a fellowship that would lead to controversy. And so how this, you know, and then we can all decide at various times how we interpret what an outside issue is and what an outside issue is not. Of course, everyone at a meeting has the autonomy to speak about whatever they want to. But we try, when we publish literature and so forth, as a fellowship, we try to stay out of political discussions and other outside issues. I studied the tradition. When I first came into the program, I studied the traditions with the sponsor. And we did not have yet, you know, DA had not yet written its traditions yet, so we had to read the AA 12 and 12. And one of the examples of, the example that was given to me about the importance of Tradition 10, staying out of, you know, controversial issues, was that around the time of the Civil War, there was a very similar organization to AA. It was called the Washingtonians. They had found a very similar solution to alcoholism that AA would have later in the 20th century. And what happened was they took a stand on slavery. They felt that alcoholism was a form of slavery, and that they became a group that was associated with abolition. And, you know, I would think that as a, you know, I would call myself, if I were around during those times, I would probably call myself an abolitionist. I certainly do not, you know, support slavery in any way. But at the time of the Civil War, this threw the fellowship apart, and this fellowship disappeared so quickly and so thoroughly that Bill W. had never even heard of this organization by the time he started AA. Someone had said, oh, this sounds like the Washingtonians, and he had no idea that this group had even existed. So I really do believe in this tradition for that reason. And we basically, I'm really, really excited to hear about our three speakers, to hear from our speakers. So I'm going to turn the floor over to them. As I said, we are recording these calls. So I would now like to introduce our first speaker, Rhody, who will share on Tradition 10. Rhody, you have 15 minutes. What kind of a warning would you like?
Hi, thank you. Every 5 minutes and then a one, is that possible?
Great. That would be great.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, shall I go? Yes. Hi, my name is Rhody. I'm a debtor. I'm a proud member, fellow of this fellowship, Debtors Anonymous. And I'm so grateful to have been asked to speak today. I'm a little nervous, but I don't say no when I'm asked to be of service. Thank you, Matthew, for asking. Tradition 10, I want to read it. Yeah, again. Tradition 10 states, Debtors Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the DA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. As I go in and talk about this tradition, I want to talk a little bit about how I got to DA and what it was like at the beginning, because we all do have a story. It's very hard for me, though, now to talk about a story, but it's important. So I came into DA when I did not come from another 12-step fellowship. It's kind of like a miracle, and exactly what can happen, what a debtor really is about, and how crazy it was that I got the message, because I had nothing to do with addiction or anything that related to 12-step programs. But I did get the message. Even before getting the message, I came across literature that's non-conference approved that was written by a fellow. And I don't even know how I got to that book. I was in pain. I knew I was in extraordinary pain because I was having a very successful career, critically wise. I was being recognized, but money for me was this place where and somehow I was not earning enough. There was this, you know, my sponsor, I do have a DA sponsor, step sponsor that says you were actually in a blackout, living a blackout. But let me continue talking. So I hear about DA and I start coming to meetings. I was living in New York at the time, and I start coming to meetings. This was in 2010. And I start coming to meetings, and immediately as I start coming to meetings, my higher power had better plans for me. I am a middle-aged woman who was born in a country in South America, in Venezuela, and from European parents. This meant that, you know, there's a whole bunch of cultural issues that were really boiling in my history. And my higher power wanted me to deal with them directly, sent me back to where I was born. I had been living in the U.S. for 17 years with grown sons and the whole life, you know, built in this country when I had to go back to my country of origin and to my mother's home. And it was interesting how spending 5 years there was exactly what I needed to do in order to get back to DA. I come back really on my knees. My fifth year in that country was really paying attention. I need help. I started doing phone meetings from that country, daily phone meetings. And I made the decision to come back to New York so I could get to DA meetings. I did not know what was going on, but I knew I was in trouble because even though I had this very prosperous career with support from everywhere, I did not have unsecured debt. But I had racked up $125,000 in secured debt to finance my project. And all of a sudden I realized, you know what, I'm never going to be earning this money. How am I going to pay this back? I really have a problem here in debting. It doesn't matter whether I had also a lot of money in the bank. But I felt like I was about to live in the streets. So I get back to New York, and it was my first year was like 1 year of crying and not understanding at all what was wrong, what was going on, and just thinking, I'm never going to get well. And
5 minutes. Your first 5 minutes is up.
Thank you, Matthew. My life is never, ever going to change. You know, I could not even pinpoint what my pain was about or my problem was about. I did think I was going to be destitute, living in the streets, and I just could not understand the program. And mind you, I was going to daily meetings, face-to-face meetings, sometimes twice a day, and still lost as I could be. I had a sponsor. I was doing all the tools. I was just focused on willfully getting through this program and thinking, okay, I'm just going to do the 12 steps, one a month. I'm going to pass this, and my life is going to be resolved. Fortunately, I found a sponsor that really shifted everything. And part of my story is that I thought that because I was a woman, a middle-aged woman, who grew up in a place where I never learned anything about money, I was doomed. You know, I had this whole story behind me. And I came into these rooms, and I was so glad, you know, now looking back, that this tradition was really, really followed. I think it's at this point it may be the most tradition, the most important tradition that we may have in this fellowship, because the only thing I would hear in those rooms was my story through everybody's shares and everybody's qualifications. I would hear my story in every single PRG I would get to, and it wasn't the story of where I came from or what happened to me, because, you know, it could easily go into excuses. And as I worked the steps, I really found that all this story elements that I would blame, oh my God, this is because of a bad economy or because I was very unfortunate and I was, you know, mistreated in this situation, blah, blah, blah. You know, I realized as I worked my steps that it was all resentments. And now I understand that that's the culprit of all my issues here in DA. So going back to the tradition, you know, and finding that one of the things that also brought me back to DA, to New York, was that while I was in that country, while I was in Venezuela, I found that I didn't have support with DA. There were no meetings, and I really thought, okay, I want to see how we can bring it back to this country where we really need it. The first time I looked for a DA meeting down there, I shared that I went to an AA meeting and asking for information on DA meetings. I shared I'm a debtor, and everybody turned out. The room was packed. And everybody turned around at me and said, "What is that? I think I'm a debtor too." So God does have a mysterious way in working things out for me, and my recovery has brought me as a project contributor right now with a board with Spanish translations, and I'm in touch with this Hispanic worldwide community, and it's been like amazing to touch Tradition 10 from a very different point of view. What has helped me tremendously was that I would come in, you know, here I'm looking at the tradition, and it's important. We cannot afford to talk about outside issues. And in my case, it could have been the economy or whatever, you know, and because DA's ability to help debtors depends on its being neutral territory where people of all social and political opinions can gather to solve their common debting problems. And that's what exactly I found in these rooms. You know, we're so... I come from another country. I'm a different age, and yet I can identify with a 25-year-old sharing about what is going on in their life. And it doesn't matter. You know, for me, it didn't matter. It was like I'm in this room, and I'm here not alone. I don't know what it would have been. It would have been a distract. I would have left, I guess, if we would have been talking about other issues. Right now, I find that going through the steps.
5 minutes.
Thank you.
You have 5 minutes left.
Yes, thank you. Going through the 12 steps has been tremendously helpful with a sponsor and being of service. You know, I'm a GSR. I'm going to be stepping out from the service after 3 years, but, with looking forward to seeing how I can participate in the future. But I found that the steps, working the steps was not enough. And as I was talking with fellows who have recovery in my eyes, and that's a personal, you know, I identify personally with, I found that I could get help, and it was suggested to me by this fellow that I could have a tradition sponsor, and this fellow is my traditions and concept sponsors, and it's interesting how this has shifted my recovery completely, because not only have I been able to see how the traditions work in the rooms, in our fellowship, but the most interesting thing is that as I reach out for the other tools and get support, I now have a job through PRGs. My life has really shifted. I'm finding that the traditions are also helping me in my work, in my personal relationships, in everything, in the walks, in every walk of life that I have, you know, where the rubber hits the road. And what I have come to understand right now is flipping the tradition, not only not to bring into our rooms, but when I show up to my workplace, I don't bring my issues to my workplace, and I try to show up to be of service. How can I be of service to this company I work for and understand that my personal issues or whatever other issues are not relevant and when I have to show up and work? I also find it with my personal relationships. When I talk with my friends or my families, I don't bring my issues. It's been very interesting to flip this wisdom that is behind all these words that have been put together and are in our 12 and 12 and 12. I want to say that what has also helped with having service positions and showing up and practicing in these safe rooms where I get people who have been able to recover, it's all spiritual. I guess I'm just skipping this whole big, important thing that is DA recovery. In my case, cleaning up all these outside issues, you know, I'm too old. No, I'm not, you know, or I'm from here, or I'm a grandmother, or whatever story. Cleaning up all these things has been all about understanding that I have, it's been a spiritual recovery, and that's the essence that I have found in this fellowship and in the rooms, that I just have to focus. And it was one of my sponsors who kept telling me, it's all about building your a strong relationship with your higher power. Because at the end of the day, when it comes down to making decisions, yes, I have the support of a fellowship. Yes, I have the support of all this wisdom from throughout these years. But it may come down to a moment where I need to connect with my higher power and come into touch with what is integrity, honesty, and intuition, and believe that my higher power is really with me, so I can be of service for not only my fellowship, but for my community, for my family, for my workplace. And for that, I need to empty it all from whatever outside issues may be going on. I hope I was of service. I am grateful to be here. DA has saved my life. And I can say I live a joyous, balanced, abundant, and happy life. Thanks to DA. And I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Rhody. Thank you for a wonderful share. And you were completely on time. You ended right when we were out of time, brilliantly. thank you so much. I would now like to introduce our next speaker, Darlena M. Darlena, are you on the call?
I am here. Can I be heard?
Oh, great, great. I can hear you. Great, thank you. So, Darlena, you will have 15 minutes. Do you want, what kind of warning do you want?
The same kind of warning. Is it 10 minutes total? Or 15 minutes, which one?
It's 15 minutes. I can give you every five.
Okay, I got you.
Okay, cool. All right. So thank you, Darlene. Go ahead.
Thank you so much. And I really appreciate this opportunity to come here to talk about my program. And I just want to be very clear that DA saved my life. It saved my life. It saved my health. And like any recovering addict, I am a vigilante, and I share my program with anyone who asks. I always let people know it was not always like this for me. I was in debt, and I was afraid to go to sleep sometimes, and I was overworking and trying to get out of debt, and that was the cycle of my life. And I remember being in graduate school and counseling and having to go to AA meetings and the other fellowships, bedrock fellowships, and saying to my professor, you know, I really have a lot of dysfunction around money, and I wish there was a money program. And he just laughed and said, you know, that's a harmless one. And I remember being engaged one time and saying, you know, I'm a compulsive spender, and it's a problem. And he just gave me a blank stare and said, all women are compulsive spenders. But no, I knew that I had a disease, and I knew something was wrong with me. And I am one of the principal founders of Black and DA, and I know that's controversy for some people. But however, I use the tools, and I really want to read this from the AA 12 and 12 because I think it exemplifies where we are. The principle, step one, the principle that we shall find no enduring strength until we first admit complete defeat is the main taproot from which our whole society has sprung and flowered. In AA's pioneering time, none but the most desperate cases could swallow and digest this unpalatable truth. Even these last gaspers often had difficulty in realizing how hopeless they actually were. But a few did, and when these laid hold of AA principles with all the fervor with which the drowning seas life preservers, they almost invariably got well. This is why the first edition of the book, Alcoholics Anonymous, published when our membership was small, dealt with low bottom cases only. I think that's very important, because what it says to me is that DA is going through its own evolution, and at one time, DA appealed to those who were getting evicted from their houses or losing their cars or rock bottom. And we know the damage that has been caused when we thought that alcoholics were winos that were living in the gutters. We know that there were alcoholics who ran successful businesses, who were entertainers, and who who were athletes. And we know the damage and wreckage in the lives of those families because those people didn't identify because they weren't rock bottom. And it's the same with debt. If you look at the number of suicides, if you look at the number of health issues, you will find that many of those people have debt issues. And so for me, it's about the program. It's about the principles. There are no pre-approved experiences. Whatever you got, whatever is going on in your life, if that is causing you to debt and you are a compulsive debtor, then you need to be in a program. Bring your whole self. We are in a pandemic now, and we know that in this pandemic that certain racial groups have been targeted, and that's a terrible thing. It is not our lane to deal with that aspect of their lives, but it is our lane if they're sitting behind a computer buying a bunch of stuff that they can't afford to buy and they're getting into debt, is to embrace that person and say, we got steps for you. We have tools for you. We have a program for you. We can help you. And you don't have to be ashamed of who you are and what you've done, because everyone in these rooms has been in debt, and we know what shame that comes with. We know what it's like to have envelopes coming in the mail and not wanting to open them. We know what it's like not to want to answer our phones. So anyone out there who is experiencing this, we can help you with our debtors program. And it's not about, you're right, if your unity is rooted in my oppression, then I have a problem with that. But if your unity is about saying, look, we got a program, we got tools, we know how to do this, then I'm all for it. And anybody who comes to our meetings, that's the focus. You do not get a pass. I don't care what is happening to you. I don't care what has happened in your past. If that thing is causing you to debt, if that thing is causing you misery, if you are a compulsive debtor, then you need to come into a program and address it. You need to call your sponsor. You need to call outreach to fellow members. Last year, I was in a total panic because I needed to buy a vehicle.
That was five minutes early, Lena. Thanks.
Thank you. I needed to buy a vehicle, and I went to a dealership. And I did my research, and, you know, he was trying to sell me cars that were over the Blue Book value. And I looked at him and said, you know, this car, that's not the Blue Book value. Why should I pay this price for this car? And he looked me straight in the eye, because he's a salesman, and he said, you have the credit score, you have the income, you can afford it. And I left there thinking, no, there's something wrong with this. I'm not crazy. So I called my sponsor, and I said, listen, if I'm paying more for a car than the car's value, isn't that debting? And it's like, yes, it is. So if it's debting, don't do it. I don't get a pity party. I don't get to say I'm a female, and so it's okay for me to spend more for a car than the car is worth because it stressed me out. I have to come within that program, within the rooms, and find a way to live without debting. I am eternally grateful that I am a recovering debtor. I am eternally grateful that I have no unsecured debt. But I can tell you, it is a daily struggle. I see opportunities. I have all, they don't even ask me anymore if I want a credit card. They just send it to me. They just give me a limit, and I cut them up because I know for me that is very seductive. We don't talk about our topic in our meetings in Black NBA is about your debt. You can come in those rooms, you can share, you can cry, you can bring anything that has happened to you, any experience that you've had. The bottom line is that experience is not a pass to debt. That experience can be worked through in the steps, and we can start a step study workshop for you to be able to do that. That experience can be worked through in the symptoms as well as the tools of debtors if you are a debtor. Now, you may come to the room and you may not be a debtor, and that's fine. You may need another program or no program. That's fine as well. But our program is specifically to reach out to the debtor who still suffers, and there are plenty of them. Our economy, our worldwide economy, is based on debt. I sit down, thank you. Was that the next 5 minutes? I sit down and, you know, I talk to people in the Small Business Administration, and I try to explain to them my program. And they look at me like I'm crazy. It's like, you gotta get some debt. And it's like, is the debt secured? Because if the debt isn't secured, no, I don't have to get the debt. I have a problem with debt. You would never tell somebody who had a problem with alcohol or drugs that they should do alcohol and drugs to socialize with people who also do alcohol and drugs if there is a business incentive. You would tell that person, you need to be honest. You need to speak up. You need to speak out. You need to say that you have a problem with alcohol and you need to abstain. You need to avoid those situations where you may be tempted. It is the same with debt. So when I hear that about race is an outside issue, if you are having issues because of your race and those issues are causing you to debt because you are a compulsive debtor, then you need to be in a program and you need to have a sponsor and you need to go through the steps and you need to deal with that. It's just very clear. I know how much pain I was in. I know how many times I was in debt. I got a second job. I got a third job. I got out of debt. And then I sat back and thought, that's over. I'm good. And then something happened, and I started to feel sorry for myself. Somebody was mean to me. Somebody did something that was inexcusable. And guess what? I went out and bought something that I couldn't afford to buy, and I started that cycle all over again. That part of my life is past. So everybody knows, anybody who knows me knows that if you pick up something that you can't afford, I will say to you, if you don't have the money to pay for that, you need to put it back. I will tell anybody, what's in your spending plan? What is in your budget? What can you afford? What can you do that won't put you in debt again? Because it's simply not worth it. Life is too short. And as I look through the DA 12 and 12, I am reminded that we come with different things, and it has nothing to do with emotion.
You have 5 minutes. Thanks.
Thank you. When we came to Debtors Anonymous, we knew that something was terribly wrong. We might have been deep in debt with unsecured credit or charge cards or perilously behind in our taxes, or we might have been struggling to keep up with our bills. Some of us found DA in the midst of eviction, foreclosure, and other legal action. Others of us had bounced checks until the associated fees far outpaid their original check amounts. Some of us were alarmed to see our debt spiral out of control as we indulged in extravagant or even frivolous purchases while bills went unpaid. Some of us were self-employed individuals who found ourselves borrowing just to cover business costs or were business owners who were months behind in our payroll or payroll taxes. These were among those among us in DA who had never used credit or charge cards but was under a debt burden due to student loans or money owed to doctors, lawyers, friends, and family. None of that advocates student loans. But if you have student loans, you need to pay them. None of that advocates shaming anybody for making extravagant or frivolous purchases. It's really none of our business. But if you're in debt because of your frivolous or extravagant purchases, then you need to come to a Debtors Anonymous meeting and deal with that. That isn't an outside issue that you like. We're not promoting designer clothes, nor are we denying designer clothes. We are saying that if you are in debt because of your addiction to designer clothes, then maybe you should use our tools and get out of debt and deal with that issue so that you don't get in debt. Nothing I see in here promotes or denies anything. The issue is, if any of those things, if you're back behind in your payroll, if you're behind in your payroll taxes, We're not here to shame you for that. We're here to say to you that experience is not outside of our program. So if you are behind in payroll taxes, payroll in general, for whatever reason caused you to be in debt, address it and pay it off, because that's what the program is about. It's not waiting on somebody to come and save you. It's not waiting on some knight in a white horse with millions of dollars who's going to throw it your way. It's about looking at your debt situation. It's about looking at how you got there, and it's about using those steps and using those tools to get out of debt and to stay out of debt. And I think that that's important, that once you get out of debt, if you're hiding from yourself, if you're ashamed of your experiences, if you're not talking about what caused you to incur that debt, then guess what? You're going to do it again. If you're drinking and you're not talking about the triggers that caused you to drink, guess what? If you're ashamed of that, you're going to drink again. You may drink in a closet, but you're going to drink. If you're debting and you aren't talking about the resentment that you have, which causes you to debt, guess what? You're going to debt again. You may be able to hide it. I hid it for a very long time. I am a master of smoke and mirrors, and that is why I recognize other debtors, and I recognize them with love and compassion, because I can say, but by the grace of God, there goes I. That was me for years. And I don't walk up to people I don't know and push program pamphlets at them. But I can tell you, those people in my inner circle, I'm very direct about spending more than you earn. I'm very direct about going into debt, and I'm very direct about using my experience, my strength, my hope, and say, you don't have to do like me. You don't have to be like me. It took me a very long time to find this program. You can do something different. You can change the trajectory of your family. And I can assure you that when I first got into program, everyone in my family was pissed at me. They were angry because I wasn't debting. I wasn't giving them gifts. I wasn't vague about my money anymore. And they pushed back, and they pushed back hard. That's a part of the process. But I can also tell you today that people in my family look at money different because I've educated them. Today, we're looking at, now that I'm out of debt, what do I do to not get back in debt? Maybe for me, that's investing, but I need to be able to invest without going into debt because I don't know how to not debt. I don't have that experience. So then I have to get.
And that's time, Darlena.
Thank you. But I just want to say I need my fellow travelers to help me stay out of trouble. Thank you.
Thank you, Darlena. That was really wonderful. I would now like to introduce our final speaker, Alan, who will also speak on Tradition 10. Alan, are you there? Star 6? Alan, are you there?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now. Okay. So how would you like to be warned?
Same thing. It's fine.
Every 5 minutes. Okay, great. All right. So thank you, Alan. Please go right ahead.
Thank you. Hi, everyone. I'm Alan. I'm a compulsive debtor. In July 14th, I celebrated 30 years of continuous solvency in this program. I walked into my first meeting on July 14th, 1990. And I share something in common with the other two speakers. DA saved my life. We've all said that, and it's a true experience for every one of us. When I came into DA, I went from being chased by my creditors, deep in debt. I owed money to I maxed out on all my cards. I had student loans. I had borrowed from family and friends. I had fallen behind on the rent. I had fallen behind the utilities. It was a big mess, and I was getting phone calls constantly. And by working the DA program, I went from that to becoming debt free. It took me 13 years to pay back all the old debts that I had. But one day at a time, I didn't incur new unsecured debt, no matter what. and that no matter what was very tough. Sometimes I didn't know how I was going to not debt. But that commitment was something that I had to work through and always managed to find a solution. And I discovered through this program solvency as a way of life. You know, in AA they talk about it. It's fine to stop drinking, but sobriety is a way of life. And in our program, we own that word solvency. That's the answer to our disease. And so we live one day at a time, living within our means, living solvently. I was a big under earner when I came to the program. I made $23,000 a year, and I was supporting an infant son and wife. And I had no idea how to generate income. I had no idea how to increase it. And I ended up living a life that I considered to be extremely abundant and prosperous in ways that were beyond my imagination. I never imagined I would be where I am today. I went from tremendous amount of vagueness and a tremendous amount of fear to living a life of what I would call serenity and purpose, living the promises of DA. And so DA is a big deal for me. I mean, it's a commitment for life. You know, I don't see myself as cured. I don't see myself as finished. I keep going to meetings. I keep calling my sponsor, and you know that's just how I live my life of recovery. So the idea of keeping the DA groups alive and keeping them safe is crucial to me for selfish reasons. You know, my biggest fear is that something will happen to the group I go to and people will stop coming. And so that's a really important issue connected to Tradition 10. One of our goals is to carry the message to the still suffering debtor. And one of my fears is that a newcomer will come to the meeting and be confused by what our primary purpose is because we're not being careful about Tradition 10, and they won't come back again. And that's what makes Tradition 10 alive for me. It's to my benefit to keep newcomers feeling safe and to keep them coming back. And we need DA unity to survive. You know that we have to be unified behind our primary purpose, which is not debting one day at a time and carrying the message. Our focus needs to be on the spiritual solution that DA offers to compulsive debting. At the same time, we're open to all religious persuasions. We're open to all political viewpoints. You know, it doesn't matter. The fellowship is open to everybody. But our focus is a unified focus, which is solving our problem of compulsive debting. I had an early lesson in Tradition 10, actually, which was interesting to me. And this is about 29 years later, so I still remember it. So you can see the effect it had on me. But one of my earliest sponsors, we were talking on the phone one day, and I was talking to him about some personal issues. I can't remember what. And he says to me, he says, you know, he was very careful to preface this. He said, what I'm going to tell you is not part of the DA program, but I go to EST, and I go to the meetings, and I found it very helpful for me in solving such an issue. He said they have an open house every weekend. You might want to just check it out. And he warned me that they might put a lot of pressure on me to pay $80 to keep coming. And he said if it's not for you, just say no, but you might want to check it out. And I was open-minded at that time because I was desperate. I was one of the bottoms that somebody talked about earlier. And so I went, and I went to this meeting.
Alan, that's 5 minutes.
Thank you. It was a couple hours long. And it became really clear to me while I was sitting there, this is not for me. You know, I do not belong in this group. And so, you know, I left, and when they tried to pressure me, I said, no, thank you, and I went home. And I called my sponsor, and I told him what happened, and he said, oh, okay, good. Well, you know, it's good that you tried it, and if it's not for you, it's not for you. And the lesson I learned from that was that he was very clear about what was an outside issue, and that it was okay to talk about it. We oftentimes find ourselves in the position of suggesting books, suggesting things to do, suggesting websites to go check something out, to learn something new that might be helpful in our DA recovery. But making that clear about what's the program, what's not the program. That's our responsibility. And that's the word that comes up for me with Tradition 10, that all of us have a responsibility to be clear about that. That what is an outside issue and what is the DA program? DA as a whole needs to avoid public statements. They make that very clear in the written form of the tradition. Because if DA gets involved in public statements, we run the risk of being dragged into controversy, and that could destroy our program in the way that the example that Matthew gave at the beginning. That could easily happen to DA, so we have to be very careful about that. But we're all welcome to hold our own beliefs and views. Whatever religious belief, whatever political beliefs you have, whatever personal beliefs, it's fine. You're welcome to have those. And as a matter of fact, in terms of living an abundant life, sometimes taking care of those things is an important part of recovery. But we just don't want to impose them on others. That's the key issue. So I need to avoid arguing for political or religious stands when I share. So if I'm making a share, it's my responsibility to be careful about that. I need to focus on where I was at before DA. I need to talk about what changed when I came to DA and where I am now. That's the basic story, in sharing in DA. But I've heard various topics. I know a few years ago, someone in my group made some disparaging remarks about a politician who shall go unnamed, and I happen to agree with her about this particular person. But somebody else in the group who felt differently about this politician raised his hand and reminded of the group of Tradition 10 that we don't bring outside issues into the meeting. And even though I agreed politically with the person who made the remark, I totally agreed with him that it was not something to be brought into the meeting. And so, Tradition 10 has nothing to do with my views, my political views, my religious views. It's about standing up for the program and making sure that we focus on our primary purpose and nothing else. Another topic I've heard come up is the national debt. The national debt is so out of control, and if only DA could talk to people about that. That's an outside issue. We have no position on whether the national debt is a problem or not. And the government is not a compulsive debtor. They don't come to DA meetings. It's a completely different issue. So, it's just important just to be aware of those things. And to me, the traditions are something we practice. We're human. We'll make mistakes. We'll say things maybe we shouldn't have said. But if we're open and if we're focused on the steps and the traditions, then we learn to rectify that and to take responsibility and be careful about how we present topics. I know in my group that we have members in the group who have completely opposite political views. But what we do have in common is one thing, and that's that we're all compulsive debtors and we're all committed to recovery in this program. And as the literature says, we practice love, understanding, and companionship. So we want to be welcoming to everybody in the group. My concern, again, is that if a newcomer comes to a meeting and this is what's talked about at the meeting, a political view that they're not comfortable with, I think there's a good chance they'll turn around and walk away. And that would be unthinkable for me. The survival of DA is important to me. This is kind of a funny example, but just to give you an idea of how mundane the stretch of Tradition 10 can be. Back in the early 90s, I chaired a share day in New York.
Alan, you have 5 minutes.
Thank you. And one of the things that the planning committee decided to do was to set up a table in the share day entrance, and it was a vision board table. And what they had was they had Elmer's glue, they had magazines and scissors so you can cut pictures from the magazines, and they had glitter, and they had colored markers. And I remember I looked at that, and I thought, I understand why a lot of people in DA would like to do that, and I can even imagine myself doing that on occasion. But I wondered at the same time, if a newcomer was to come in and saw that, and thought that was the primary thing that we do in DA, is we cut magazines out and put glitter on them and color them with magic markers. You know, are we staying true to our primary purpose? And it's not that I'm not arguing that it shouldn't be there, but I think it's important in those situations to make it clear to anybody that this is not the DA program, but many of us like doing this. This is something that helps us. But being really clear about what's the program and what's not the program, what's an outside issue. The other area at the World Service level is the World Service Conference. And I, in my experience, sometimes I think DA members sometimes get a little confused about the purpose of the conference. And for me, it's always been important to clarify to myself that this is not a political convention. You know, it's not a conference that we go to in order to push an agenda that we have. It's a business meeting, and it's a spiritual business meeting. And that doesn't mean we can't bring our issues. You know, you can bring an issue and present it, but it's going to get voted on, and it's either going to pass or be defeated, one or the other. And my role, my responsibility as a DA member is to accept the outcome, to accept that group conscience. And I don't control that group conscience. You know, I may feel very strongly about some motion, you know, for political reasons, religious reasons, whatever. But you know, my role is to accept the process that we go through and to whatever the group conscience is, that I accept that. And it's interesting, at the World Service Conference, there's a basic rule that when a motion passes or is defeated, there's no cheering and no clapping. And that's to show respect. For the opposite side. You know, somebody wins and somebody loses in that, but we don't have to look at it as winning and losing. It's simply that we had a discussion, we came to a group conscience, and we try it. And if it doesn't work out, somebody will come up with another motion at another time. But individual opinions are given time and are given respect. So in order to do these things, we have to practice humility. You know, so the steps are directly involved in practicing Tradition 10. You know, I don't control that group conscience, and I have to be humble enough to accept that, despite whatever my personal views are about any of these issues. And lastly, responsibility. Tradition 10 makes it my responsibility as a DA member to make sure that we attempt to adhere to Tradition 10 as best as we can. As I said, we're human, we'll make mistakes, but the question is what's our intent and what's our willingness to take that responsibility. So thank you. I'll open it up from there.
Oh, thank you, Alan. you actually had an additional 5 minutes. Do you want to just turn that over to the group, or?
Yeah, I'll turn it over to the group.
Okay, great. All right. Thank you so much, Alan. now that our last speaker has spoken, Sharon, would you mind turning off the recording? Sharon? Sharon, have you stopped recording? Sharon, I can't hear you. Do you want to unmute?